Chapter 3. Creating a code of honor that brings out the best. Your code will determine what type of people join your team. It acts like a beacon that attracts others of the same mindset. If you don't enjoy taking orders, shaving your head, or shooting automatic weapons, don't join the Marines. But people there love it. It's not that one code serves all, or that one is better than the other. Each person has his own set of values and is attracted to a different code. The culture and code of Singapore Airlines is different from that of United Airlines. The Catholic Church is different from the Presbyterian Church. It's a matter of preference, but once you sign up, you're expected to support those rules. All great relationships have rules that all parties agree to. This is true in business, sports, personal relationships, and families. I will be the first to say that I am no marriage counselor, nor do I want to be one. But it is not a surprise that nearly 50% of all marriages don't last. It's partly because many couples have no clear agreements. At the first sign of stress, people revert to their own personal rules. My wife Eileen and I have a code. Why? Because it is the most important team in our lives. We want to preserve it and thrive in it. These are some of our rules. Communicate daily no matter where I am in the world. Stick with all disagreements until they are resolved. Study together. Keep your agreements. Commit to personal development and education. Those rules are good for any team, at home or at work. Steps for creating a code of honor. There are several steps in creating a code of honor. Number one, find a sane moment in which to create the code. I've said this before, but it can't be stressed enough. Do not wait until emotions are running hot, there's a deadline to meet, or the heat is really on. It must be in a moment when everyone is thinking clearly and rationally. Most people try to create, legislate, and execute rules in the heat of the battle. Bad idea. If you find yourself in that situation, call a timeout and table the rulemaking for a sane time. Also, don't expect to do this all at one sitting. There needs to be a lot of thought put into the creation of the code, and it's also important not to burn everyone out. It could take days, weeks, or even months. It might be a good idea to find a time when you can actually leave the office. I'm not saying you have to take a retreat to Hawaii to do this, but whatever it takes so that people are relaxed and thinking clearly for this process. Number two, find recurring issues that repeatedly interfere with the performance of the team. I was once asked by a global investment bank to work with a bunch of floor traders. This was a very intelligent, fast-moving, arrogant bunch of people. They operated like a band of roving gunslingers, and it was my job to help them become a championship team. One of the rules they came up with, however, in their code of honor said, "Public humiliation is not allowed on the trading floor." This was a very important rule for them. Why? Because in the chaotic, high-pressure environment of the trading floor, tempers and emotions can run high. When back office folks came onto the floor to help execute trades made by the traders, some of the traders would yell, scream, and take the heads off the back office folks for even the littlest of things. This was hugely disruptive to productivity, not to mention feelings. Plus, it disrupted other team members who were trying to conduct business. It also set up getting even scenarios later on. They had identified this as a recurring problem and decided it was important enough to write a rule about it. With the rule in place, the team policed itself to uphold the standard. Guess what? Productivity and seamless operation between front and back office improved immediately and dramatically. During a time on Wall Street when markets were taking a huge hit, this team outproduced every other trading team around the world in the bank simply because they had learned how to come together as a team instead of looking for their own self-interests. Your code needs to address your particular needs, your particular team's mission, and your particular recurring problems. It shouldn't just deal with special cases like, last week Frank did this to Mary, so let's make a rule about it. Find recurring, regularly appearing issues that your team faces. Is perpetual lateness an issue for your team? Do people have a hard time keeping agreements? Is there a lot of finger-pointing, gossiping, and so forth? You can create rules that deal with these things. Try to look beyond the symptoms to the real underlying problems. Also, take a look not only at what's not working, but also at what is working. For instance, does your team really come together well under pressure, step up to the plate, and get the job done? Do they spontaneously celebrate each other's wins? Isolate good behaviors such as these and then find out what stands in the way of them.